Well, hello.
Hi. Of
Paul is muted.
course he is.
That's probably for the best. He's got nothing good to say.
It's good stuff, good stuff. So,
Y'all.
we're missing somebody today, but that's okay. It's understandable.
And we're also
He
5 minutes
may show
early.
up. That true. That too. True.
Hey, the
I
podcast
can tell.
starts when the podcast starts. Or something. Not too early, not too late. What's the
Well,
Gandalf?
I'm gonna vote with the law of 2 feet then if we're gonna go that route.
Nice. There you go. There you go.
Actually, didn't we upgrade it to be the law of 6 feet?
It's just the law of
Yes.
feet.
Nice.
Didn't catch the 6 feet until after that. Nice.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah. Something like that.
But yeah. Well, we can fill in the time up until the official start time. Then we can say that it's the challenge of a new child, you know. So
Well, we don't even know if he's showing up, so we can just do talk about stuff, and if he shows up, he shows
mean,
up.
yeah,
yeah,
sounds good.
works well.
So have we actually started?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, well, there we go.
Welcome
You honestly think JJ's gonna cut this part out?
welcome to the hallway track again.
Hey.
So what's going on? What's news?
Well, Microsoft decided to buy Activision.
I
Yep.
saw that. I'm kind of excited because Microsoft puts most of their games, if not all of their games, onto Game Pass, which makes it very cheap to play lots of games. But also, it's a bit worrying that Microsoft now owns every game studio in the world.
Yeah, it's a really big, there's going to be ripple effects, assuming the SEC, here in the US, the SEC doesn't block it, but that means Microsoft now owns Quake, right? Like
Hang on.
yeah.
Microsoft owned Quake for like 6 months.
Oh, is
Quake is
that
not,
Bethesda? Is it
yeah, that was
Bethesda? Not.
Bethesda.
Oh, I thought it was
Okay.
Activision. I thought it was
No,
Activision. No.
Blizzard is part of Activision. So they got World of Warcraft and
Yeah.
all of that stuff.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft, StarCraft, Diablo. And they also got a whole bunch of HR nightmare because there is a lot of
Yeah.
stuff recently at Blizzard about men in power not treating non-men not in power very well, which weird. Does that I've never heard of such things
Yeah.
happening anywhere, let
Never.
alone the games industry.
Never. The gentleman, or if you ever watch Loading Ready Run, it's an online comedies group. They have a thing called Checkpoint where they talk about gaming news weekly. And they had a really interesting whole segment about why Microsoft specifically buying Activision could actually be a really good thing for the employees specifically at Activision Blizzard, King, AB, it's also known as ABK. Because Microsoft really does enforce the correct things when it comes to their employees, in the grand scheme of things, which is a huge switch from what Activision does right now. And if you have a chance, I look up Loading Ready Run and Checkpoint. This was, I guess, last week's episode. They're very, very the Graham Stark, who's the main guy of it, goes really deep into it.
So, are we going to see a stack ranking of Blizzard employees?
Well, yeah.
Oh dear.
They're all going to be on GitHub before you know it, something like that. So,
Well, you know, I guess that's one way to make sure the next generation learns how to build games. Put
yeah.
everything on GitHub, open
There
source it all.
you go.
Maybe.
I guess what I'm most worried about is that the diversity of the gaming industry is now no longer so strong
There
because
was
now
never
Mike
diversity in the gaming industry.
well in sorry, I used the wrong term. So now more games are going to show up on Xbox. And if you haven't bought an Xbox or have a Microsoft Windows PC, right?
You're completely missing like Nintendo.
So Nintendo's in its own little corner, but there's no like cross-pollination of Nintendo games to Sony games.
That's true.
But there is Microsoft, there is Blizzard games on Nintendo that may no longer be published in Nintendo.
Exactly. Or for that matter, PlayStation players will never be able to get the stuff. Like now if you want a game let's take World of Warcraft, for instance, right? Like World of Warcraft, I was a big WoW player for a very long time. And granted, I had to play it on a Windows machine, but now no matter what, like I'm going to have to run a Windows PC to be able to play WoW.
You're assuming they're going to like eat their own lunch, right? Because like Blizzard games make a lot of money selling Blizzard games on Sony and Nintendo, right? So is Microsoft willing to throw that revenue out in order to get them exclusive on the Xbox on the Game Pass platform, which they don't necessarily make a lot of money on? Right. So one revenue is going to have to eat the other, right? Or they just leave it open, right? There's no revenue is lost by continuing to release Blizzard games on Sony and Nintendo. Revenue is 100% lost if they start releasing it only on Microsoft, and they have to hope that they gain that revenue back through Xbox sales and Xbox Game Pass subscriptions, which I don't think they would.
There's also a massive shortage of Xbox S's. Is that the newest one?
So right now, the Xbox Series X and S are basically the same generation, just with different performance characteristics. And the S is just fine. And there's less of a shortage on S's. It's the X that's the bigger problem. But I think that's still the case. But it's the same with the Sony. Like, no one can buy a PlayStation 5 either.
So one of the things this makes me think of, though, is that I'm going to put out a probably very bad take, but I'm going to put it out anyway.
Laura, you're known for bad takes, so we'll take it.
Okay. I've never heard that one before, but all right.
You're not really known for bad takes.
I'm not known for any takes because I don't typically share them.
You don't have takes.
But no, what I was going to say was that... I suspect that we are seeing the end of a dedicated game console.
Oh, interesting.
So I know you're shaking your head at me, Paul, but think about it this way. Like, as we start moving into so many people talking all about AR and VR and all this other stuff, you're moving into the biggest gaming console is your phone. The biggest gaming console in the world is your phone. It's not the Xbox, the PS, you know, like any of these things. It's your phone. And it's the same mobile phone everywhere. Like that's been the one that's been growing. And I think we're going to see the same thing with when it comes to how are we going to see the next generation of gaming come out for like VR, AR, whatever. It's going to be based on a phone. It's not going to be based on some console in someone's living room, because if you think about the wide world, not everybody's getting consoles. People are getting phones and they're running off of whatever phone they have and they're gaming from there. So like if I were to look at Microsoft's numbers for Minecraft, you know, like, or just the numbers for Minecraft in general, I'm pretty sure I remember the last time I looked, which granted was a couple of years ago, was that the mobile phone version of Minecraft was the one that was starting to really grow, not necessarily the one on a computer.
So I both agree and disagree with you. I think what you're saying might end up being the same as what folks said when they said the PC is dead because tablets.
I don't think so.
And that didn't end up true.
No. Right?
A lot of people said that and it's not true and it didn't turn out. There was certainly a stalling of PCs and laptops. And then people realized that tablets weren't laptops, and laptops sort of came back. And I think we'll see the same with game consoles. So, and you got to remember, the Xbox only exists because Xbox saw Sony as a threat to the PC market, because they saw that Sony could sell basically the equivalent of a PC into the living room and make that like the core computing part of a household. And in fact, the early Xbox devs had to fight really hard to not have things like Office show up on the Xbox, because Office devs thought it was a great idea to have, you know, Excel on your window, on your TV, because who wouldn't want to do their spreadsheets on their TV in their living room? So that was kind of why a big part of why Xbox showed up, to stall the existential threat that having Sony in your living room was causing. And I think what we might see is we're going to see more and more pushes towards the streaming gaming services. And in fact, Xbox Game Pass now has, you can stream games, and so you don't even need to download them. You just say play it now, and it connects you to like a magic machine in the cloud, and you're basically getting just a stream of the video. And we've got, Nvidia has their system that does that. There's like 6 or 7 games platforms that are streaming based that are actually getting pretty good as far as responsiveness. And what that means is the compute and video power required to do it is offloaded to something in the cloud. And that does mean you need thinner and thinner consoles as that becomes the mainstream. And that will allow for the phone to become that console. But for a lot of games, you're still going to want to plug that phone into your TV and get the larger output, and also get access to a like a Xbox style controller or a PlayStation style controller. I think we might end up with things that basically kind of like the Switch, right? Where it's a handheld game thing, but you can also plug it into the stand and it turns into a console. Yeah. I think we'll maybe see that start to happen with
the Stream Deck. Phones. Stream Deck's coming out in a month's time, which is exactly basically
Steam.
Steam. Thank Steam you. Deck. That's what I meant. Yeah. The Steam Deck is coming out in a month's time. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is exactly the the Stream, which is basically the Switch, but for Steam.
So we've got devices like the Nvidia Shield, which is basically a little computer that runs Android. You've got most of the TVs are running Android now. So there's also no reason your TV can't be your streaming gaming machine, right? Because it doesn't need a ton of power and it doesn't need a ton of graphics GPU.
Well, so I have like two thoughts on this. One, I think the reason that tablets didn't really take off the way everybody thought they would was that they didn't have the time to mature before people said, oh, they're going to be the replacement. So suddenly everybody was looking at them before they were really a mature platform, whereas phones have been maturing and maturing and maturing and have had a lot more time to become something that is comparable to my laptop in some ways. Like, depending on the phone that you have, it could be nearly as compatible, like, or more powerful even than the laptop you have at your desk, depending on what that laptop is, you know. Or, you know, not a ton of people have desktop towers. Like, I know we might think like, oh, lots of people have those. But if you think about the entire world and what markets you're trying to get into with gaming and things like that, they're not going to have necessarily the data to be able to do streaming. And we haven't really solved that problem yet. And they're probably not going to have necessarily access to even better and better systems. I mean, hell, we can't even find graphics cards here in the US. Like, we can't even get chips sometimes. So... Mm-hmm. Like, I think we are going to hit an inflection point where these dedicated systems are no longer going to be the be-all end-all of gaming. Like, yes, they have wonderful capabilities and they're built for putting out that specific type of game, and they have the, you know, high resolution graphics and all that designed as part of the console, and the games are designed for that console. So I get that. But when you think about gaming, like, there's a lot more to it than just the games that you play on a console.
Sure.
I do want to say that the Apple Newton had plenty of time to mature, and it was the peak tablet out there. completely missed the joke because it was way too late, but still, Apple Newton's cool. You should check it out.
I guess the other thing is games consoles are way cheaper than phones. Like to get a, I mean, an Xbox is $200.
No, it's not.
If you can find one.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It can't be $200.
I mean, maybe it's $299, but it's like the Xbox Series X isn't expensive. And there's a lot of Xbox Ones and stuff and previous generations that are basically sitting on the in the used market.
Xbox Series X.
You want Series S.
Series S.
And then also, as we transition to potentially thinner and thinner consoles, as it becomes more and more about streaming, they'll become even cheaper because you don't need to have all the processing on them. So I think that's the thing that has to show that it's going to survive is the streaming. Like at the moment we, as a mainstream, decide that streaming games is the way to go, I think we'll see consoles drastically change. But that also assumes that everyone's going to have high-speed internet. And there are many places in the US you can't get high-speed internet, let alone like developing nations. And so By the way, Paul,
you are right. $299 for the Series S. I did not realize it was that cheap. In my mind, it was like a grand.
Well, so the Series X, I think, is like 500 something.
Yeah, that's still so cheaper than
they dropped the price.
A phone.
Depending on the phone.
Well, sure. I'm assuming you're going to need to get a decently capable phone to play games at anything near the level a Xbox would.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's fine for Bejeweled and Wordle, sure. But
well, no, like I do Zwift off my phone. And Zwift is a very, very graphics intensive. What?
Did you sneeze?
Zwift?
Zwift. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
It's okay. It's a virtual reality running cycling game.
Oh, cool.
So like I attach it to I have a little smart trainer downstairs that I'll attach to my my old bike that I'll set up in the living room. Mm. And you can run it on Bluetooth, and so it like will simulate going up and down mountains and stuff. So nice. But yeah, so that's what Zwift is, and it's lots of fun. But I don't know if anybody else heard the dinking noise.
I heard the ding ding noise.
Someone joined us.
Zoom bomb. Yes. Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.
Do you remember back at the start of the pandemic, you'd get all those fun Zoom bombs before Zoom realized that they needed to have like security on Zoom rooms?
Security's optional.
That was the best.
Who knew that was going to be a thing?
You can tack it on at the end. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I was done changing diapers and have napped sufficiently to say hi to your lovely faces.
Yay!
We are very lucky to have you. And also, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Happy birthday!
Yeah bonus. Yeah.
Wait, thanks. Today?
Literally today.
Hey. Mine is in like 4 days. That's hilarious.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a cool birthday. You got the end of the month. Yeah, uh-huh. So enjoying a birthday as a new dad. Nice. What's going on? Yeah.
Best birthday present ever.
For sure. Yeah. And oh my God, she's making so many goofy faces now. Like, I don't even know if they can smile yet. She's only 2 weeks old, but sure seems like smiling and some eye contact. So
yay.
It's pretty neat. Yeah. All these years of raising cats, you know, humans surprisingly more interesting. Who would have thought?
I don't know how that, like, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
I'm slightly delirious, so
no, I know, I'm just entertained by it.
I just thought, you know, I just thought cats were gonna be like a one-to-one to human babies. Like they meow at you incessantly, you don't know what they want, they don't listen to their name. They definitely don't clean up after themselves. They eat and poop and, you know, prefer to sleep on you. So seem pretty accurate.
But I don't think babies make baby loaves. Like cats do cat loaves.
I mean, they make burritos. You swaddle them up in a burrito.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So they do make food. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'll translate. But anyway, what are you all talking about?
We are talking about Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard and then what we think is happening next for gaming and what this means. Really heavy, weighty things in the world.
Cool.
Absolutely.
The show got serious while I was gone.
We didn't say it was serious. We just said we were talking about it.
But I thought that was a pretty significant acquisition, but it seems a little haphazard to credit it as like a metaverse play when really, like, you know, Microsoft's had Xbox for years and it's a big division of the company. It's a great product that's got a lot of fanfare. I don't know, like, where are you all leaning as to the stratagem behind it?
I hadn't even thought about the metaverse thing, but like,
oh yeah,
Microsoft's had their own VR play for quite a while with HoloDeck or HoloLens or whatever it is, which is actually really strong in its way, but it has been very business focused, if I remember correctly. So it's not like they didn't already have a foot in that kind of area, but I don't know that. I don't know. I'm very skeptical about that whole thing. Especially, did you see the video of the concert they were holding, and all these avatars are just kind of standing around doing nothing?
So bad.
It was so bad.
It's like every tech conference concert, right? We've ever been to.
Like, maybe you're like standing there and someone's bobbing their head, like that's about it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Oh man, I think it was like Cisco Live or some other tech-oriented conference where like they literally got Ice Cube, like rapper, just like one of the all-time best rappers, and bunch of predominantly neckbeardy humans standing around. He's like, y'all are some goofy ass people. We'll get into this, you know. Yeah, so I look forward to doing that from the discomfort of my seat at home in my boxers, sweating around my eyelids from the goggles. Like, yeah, that sounds great.
Like, you know what? I actually wondered, you're making me think about it, because I was kind of thinking it must be something having to do with the metaverse, but hear me out. Activision Blizzard has dealt with one of the largest online communities that has ever been in that kind of a world. World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And true. So they have the experience and the knowledge, like the tribal knowledge, of dealing with that kind of a community in an online world.
Mm-hmm.
That could very well be the reason that they bought them, not because of the gaming and everything else, but because of that tribal knowledge that they will need moving forward in the future.
I mean, you could look at the metaverse as like, instead of the metaverse, just have everyone VR into World of Warcraft.
I was just about to say that. Like, right? That's like World of Warcraft. You could always like zoom in to first person, believe it or not, with the mouse. But if you turn that into a VR set, right? Like, World of Warcraft has gone stale. They are bleeding off people. They keep trying to find new things to bring people in. But as someone who used to play a lot and tried it at different places, like if you put it on VR and I could play WoW that way, I would be back on it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so I actually would not.
And here's why. I am not dealing with gigantic spiders. Thank you very much. Like, I barely Laura deal has with regular sized spiders. Gigantic spiders running at me and I have a sword in my hands. Like, no.
I'd be okay with killing them.
Oh, I'm not saying I couldn't kill them. I'm saying I'm going to run screaming first and run into the wall and knock myself out. So I'm just saying that's going to happen if that happens.
Yeah, so back when the pandemic first started, I might have talked about this before, I contacted a bunch of the MMO game devs and said, if you figure out how to let us hold conferences inside of like a dedicated shard of your game, we'll all pay you a lot of money. And they were like, oh, that sounds hard, and this pandemic's not going to last long enough to actually make money off that.
Someone little did they know
that we're on year three,
right?
Wee.
But like, imagine holding a conference in World of Warcraft or like Star Wars The Old Republic or something. Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah, you pitched this a while ago, Paul. Yeah.
A good idea, but you know, what are you going to do? So maybe we'll see something like that out of Activision. Maybe we'll be the first massive multiplayer online conference.
They rebrand WoW to Microsoft Teams, and their user accounts just, you know, everyone just starts being really happy in there.
What if people start screaming for the Horde when they arrive in a meeting? Right.
I've definitely Leroy Jenkins into a meeting or two.
Can you please mute Farthead 420? I'm attempting to try to tell you something.
Oh yeah, your WoW account name gets carried over to Microsoft Teams. That'd be so embarrassing.
Oh yeah, that would be embarrassing. That's right.
Okay. And that's the best we can get as far as you can get away with is like Farthead. Like, yeah. That's as bad as you can get. So it's just PG-13 enough to get away with it.
So. I saw some pretty creatively bad ones, like Mistress of something, those kinds of things. Like, yeah, that was a pretty common one. It was even better when it was a guy with a female character that they named Mistress of the Darkness or something like that. And it was like, imagine that being your like Microsoft Teams. It's almost as bad as the lawyer with the cat.
Yeah.
I am not a cat.
I am not a cat.
But you will be a cat in the future and we'll have to take you seriously because it will be in Microsoft Teams.
Exactly.
Brought to you by WoW. Yeah.
Well, because you say WoW when you actually join.
Yeah. What else? Well.
I don't know.
I got a big win this last Sunday, cooking, that I was been holding on to that I really wanted to talk about.
All right, let's hear it.
We all know that I'm a big brioche fan, right? Like it's a pretty well-known state that I like brioche buns, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I've never made a brioche from scratch, like a real, real brioche. And it usually takes about 18 total hours and it requires quite a bit of work with the dough to get the gluten to do the right thing to make it happen. I've attempted 4 different loaves, and on the 4th one, which was last Saturday, I was able to make a breaded and an actual loaf brioche that was better than the ones I've bought at some of the Asian bakeries here in Tampa. So I was blown away by it, and my family, like, it didn't last more than an hour. 2 loaves of bread, because people just kept coming by and just stealing bits and pieces of like the braid and all that. So
to me why Asian bakeries are not French bakeries. Because when I think brioche, I think French.
The ones that I like are the ones from like the Vietnamese based bakeries. That have the Vietnamese influence and their brioches I've always enjoyed more than French ones. And this one was just the one I have an actual brioche recipe that I'm going to test my control now this next weekend. And if I can replicate it again, I know exactly what to do to be able to churn these things out pretty regularly.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Way to go.
Very proud. Very proud.
Good job. I also had a cooking win on the weekend. It was a friend's birthday and he wanted to do Mexican, but he didn't just want to do Mexican. He wanted to do tripas, which is not exactly the same as what we call tripe. It's actually the lower intestine. So it's probably closer to chitlins. And so you have to... you basically simmer it for an hour or so to soften it up. And then you basically then fry it in its own fat until it gets super crispy. And then you eat it on tacos or whatever. And that was delicious. And I also did lengua. So I kind of did a similar thing for a beef tongue. I simmered it for a couple of hours till it was tender. I removed the outside bit of the tongue. It was a cow tongue. It's sort of a super tough membraney thing, and then sliced it and then pan fried it at the end. And I also did a cochinita pibil and a beef cheek barbacoa. There was actually, it was a small gathering. There's like 6 of us because we're still in a pandemic. But there, 2 of the people there were from Mexico and they were both very impressed with the authenticity of my tacos.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so I took that as a win.
That's a big win. You also cooked all the stuff that I don't see in the very Americanized taco stands.
Right. And then I had leftover tongue and tripas, and I made a fried rice with them, and it was really, really good.
Nice.
Cool. So you crisped that up and just did like pretty standard fried rice?
Yep. Yep.
Nice. Sounds lovely. I've cooked absolutely nothing.
Nice.
I am a diaper and burping machine.
That's all right.
But our local pho spot is getting our business quite a bit because it's been so cold, like negative 15 for more days than not in the last 3 weeks. Which is just silly.
It's cold here too. I had to put on a sweater to go outside the other day.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. Right? So a lot of warm soups. One of my friends who's been bringing us food every week, which she's a saint for that. She's making great soups though. She made like a white bean. I don't even know what it was, but it was very like lime oriented, like really like it was maybe like a no meat chili, a bean chili. Am I allowed to say that with Texans or is that illegal? Okay. But it was kind of more like tomatillo style, like green and light and zesty and super, super good. I don't know exactly what it was now. And a butternut squash soup with crispy chickpeas on top.
Oh, yum. I love me a butternut squash soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good to have good cooking friends nearby.
I almost lit my kitchen on fire and turned my house.
What did you do? It was bad.
It was really bad. So I've been doing my normal steaks, right? And this time, because I've been making tortillas from scratch, I have lard. And I was like, hey, lard's a fat. Why can't I just throw this in the pan and use that to sear my steaks?
You can.
Not realizing if you put too much lard in it, it splashes and I have a flame underneath my pan. And all of a sudden, the whole thing lights on fire. And you're like, oh God, this is really bad. And the Boy Scout in me kicked in to put it out. But you know, if I was not sober and not paying attention to what I was doing, I would probably not have a house right now.
Wow. So how did you manage
from a win to a loss?
Was it just like it just splashed when you were putting it in, or what happened?
I'm not 100% sure. All I know is that it caught on fire, and I know that I had two pans beside one pan cooking like some noodles for the girls. Mm-hmm. And then I had like the steak in a cast iron. And I think then when I put the meat in there to sear it, I think it went up the side of the pan a little bit and maybe caught underneath the other one. And I did the whole like, don't get the fire extinguisher, you know, like put the flames out, like by snuffing them because it's a grease fire and all that. Allie tried to grab the fire extinguisher. Like, God, no, don't do that. Let me take care of this. But I'm really glad I did that when I was sober. It's just
like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Moral of the story, be careful when you're cooking, especially when using quantities of fat of any sort. I mean, the same thing that would have happened with peanut oil or anything else.
I was hoping that like the problem I have with my steering my steaks is that butter has such a low smoking point that it always sets off the fucking fire alarm in my house. I have to like open up all the doors and all that. I thought
butter would have done the same thing.
But lard has a higher smoke point. So I thought I could like get it hotter.
You can.
Right. And then not have it smoke everywhere.
That's true. That's exactly right.
But I put the damn thing on fire.
Right. But like what I'm saying is like butter or any other fat would have lit on fire the same way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's oil. It's oil.
There's
more
water. There's water in butter though.
Not by the time you're cooking in it. So when you cook, put butter in a pan, you know how it foams up? That's all the water steaming out of it. Once that's happened, then the butter will start browning, and that's when all the water's gone and you're cooking the milk solid.
And it starts smoking like immediately.
But that's at that point, it's just oil. It's just fat. And so it's just as flammable as lard.
Okay. sounds great, but I never get to that point because as soon as I put the butter on it, it things just like turns into smoke and disappears. And I'm like, oh, fuck, it's gone.
Yeah. So the trick to using butter, if you want to use butter, is to use clarified butter. So either buy ghee or make your own ghee by clarifying it. And that gets rid of the milk solids. And so it's pure fat again and it won't burn. Okay. But then you'll still run the same risk if you like pour it over a live flame, it will catch on fire.
Exactly.
Laura, what were you going to ask?
Well, I was going to ask how hot are you getting your pan that it's smoking immediately on contact?
I'm targeting like 500-600 degrees because I want to create that really nice crust. Like I'm getting to the point where I might as well just use my blowtorch on it. But I want to do it on the steak because I want to do it all at the same, or on the cast iron. So I want to do it all at the same time, right? Instead of me just like going over and over and over, I'm just be like, psh, psh, done.
So I would suggest that using that kind of temperature, especially because you don't have a great range, is not a good idea. Anyway,
that's not a suggestion. That's a damnation.
So I would suggest if you're going to be searing at that kind of temperature, I would be doing it outside. Anyway,
yeah, I used to, but somebody moved my fucking grill downstairs and it's really heavy and I don't want to have to bring it all the way back up.
Oh, dick. You got that little camp stove thing.
Was that jerk you?
JJ? It was me.
Oh, okay. I was hoping that was him. The self-flogging.
Paul has moved around JJ's backyard.
The other thing is you really shouldn't have a gas grill sitting on a half-rotten wooden back patio anyway for similar reasons.
It's not fully rotten. It's not fully rotten.
I said
half-rotten. He did say half-rotten.
JJ, are you trying to get insurance claims? Because we should stop recording.
I don't have an extra 70 grand to fix my fucking backyard. It's annoying. So annoying, so expensive.
It is. It really is. Yeah, we were looking at raising ours and starting from scratch. And you're like, just kidding. We'll keep whatever's there for now.
It's a fire hazard. Rocks every year. Exactly. It's a fire. It's fine. It's fine.
Well, did you all talk about Linux already?
No, we did not talk about Linux yet. So if you would like to bring up Linux instead of cooking, we can go that direction.
As a Linux fan, I am concerned that there's been a latent poppable root shell on every distro for the last 12 years.
So
let's discuss.
So I do have to say that when I was reading about it, what they were saying is you have to already have unauthorized access locally. For you to be able physically to use in that front of it. System. Yeah.
You gotta be physically.
Unauthorized access locally. I mean, that could mean
like in person.
Okay.
At the computer.
Okay.
Crash cart. Gotta have a crash cart.
So, that's what I heard, or at least that's what I've read so far. And that makes it surprisingly less scary.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. No, it's whenever you're talking about security, there are layers to it. And that's good. Thank you. Anyone done the deep dive here? Because I have clearly have not.
I told everyone not to use systemd 12 years ago. And I'm
cool, JJ. Way to be a
systemd error. No, so hold on. That's the systemd. There was a vulnerability in systemd, and then there was this pawn kit one, which is
I thought they were the same thing. My bad.
No. I had the same thing when I first read them, and I was like, wait a minute, these are separate things. Okay. No, so the parts that I've read is that it's very reliable. Yes, it's very trivial to exploit. But it was reliant on you having access, and it's already been patched in nearly all of the OSs. So that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, it was discovered in November.
Oh, so they only decided to wait 90 days to tell us. That's cool.
Well, because it was already patched.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of the policy.
It's all been patched, and now they can talk about it.
That's how this works, JJ.
I thought they announced it, and then they released the patch immediately afterwards. I thought that was...
So at certain levels, they work on it like upstream and have like a lot of disclosure, like
smart
disclosure about it, so they can try and fix it before it's announced, because then they can beat the 0 days.
Yeah,
I'm trying to see if I can find the one from the people who found it. But I remember,
when you say reading, local user, I mean local as into the Linux like permission set, like you already have a user account, or you mean physical access only?
Physical. I meant more like local as in physical.
What does physical access mean when it comes to virtual machines? Because that doesn't mean I have physical access. It means I've got access to the hypervisor, and I access the hypervisor remotely.
So containers are the wrong thing to do. Because if you can break into the container, you can get to that. And
he said VM, it's not the same as a container.
So if you can, if you can get access to the KVM or vSphere or whatever that's those are running on, then you have the equivalent of physical access. So I just wanted to make that distinction because, you know, it's a thing.
No, it's really good to do so.
Yeah, I'm trying to read the... So Qualys was the one who found the vulnerability. And they have like the proof of exploit and everything.
This is us doing our research during the show.
Yeah, you know, it's okay.
It's real-time information. It's cool.
Just in time.
Oh, hey, I hear that's really good for supply chains.
Exactly.
Oh, hey, question. How many diaper genies do you have?
What did you just call me?
How many diaper genies do you have?
Diaper genies? Is that the, like, the diaper bin?
Yeah, it's, well, that's like the de facto name of them. It's called a diaper genie.
Okay, it looks like like a bomb cast, like a missile silo.
Yeah,
totally, with a little hatch that you move. Yeah, we've got one.
You need seven. One for each room.
That is so freaking real. I've changed that thing 3 times, and it is horrific.
It is.
Yeah,
and it only gets worse. Because
she's not even eating real food yet. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like wherever, changing table, kitchen, no joke, kitchen. Mm-hmm. Living room, bedroom, bathroom, at least. So what is that? 5 right there. And then you probably need one by your front door and your
back door for escape.
Back door.
Yeah, exactly. One in the car for the road.
When you come in, dump it right away, I guess. I don't know.
One and hitch to the dog's back for mobility.
Ever. There you go.
And then go to Costco and just start just get the tubey things right by the diapers, and just don't even question it. When you buy diapers, you just buy a box of those and just keep buying them, because you will eventually run out of one or the other, because you'll never get the same amount. So you might as well just always have too much of each.
Okay.
It's like hot dog buns.
Let me back up here, because
there's so many things happening. I love it.
For those of us who have no idea what you're talking about, like me, because I don't have kids. What's a diaper genie? Is it like the space to put the used diapers?
It's a specialized garbage can.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. For nuclear waste and or butts.
Yeah. It gives you a little ring with a bag in front of it, like the sick bags you get at like the doctor's office. You know, they have the little plastic thing on the top and then the bag down to the bottom. So imagine that is a disposable system that you can put diapers in there, but it also, when you close it, it seals the diaper in a twist, so it doesn't smell. It's a brilliant piece of equipment. And the more of them you have around your house, the less you have to worry about finding the place with the dirty diaper, because you will have leaks. Oh, going back to the security we were talking about a moment ago. See that? Good? Yeah? No? And then you twist it, and then you get a nice really long chain of diapers in a sealed system that you can just pull out when it's closed, and then you can continue building that little chain. And every person I ever go to a baby shower for, I take one of those, because I'm like, the best thing I ever had was more of these in my house than anything else.
I have so many questions, but I won't get into them because I really don't want to gross out considering that we are almost to dinner time.
I do want to say, as the child gets older, the diapers change, the amount of diapers that you put into a full diaper genie changes for obvious reasons because it gets, the child gets bigger. So you end up, that was the joke I was making about the hot dog buns, is that the diapers, when the newborn, you'll be able to fill it up and it'll like, you can take like a week or whatever. But by the time they're much older, you're doing, you're like changing the thing out daily, if not more than that. And I'm not kidding. I'm
in
not
the
kidding.
Special yeah, medium, people are missing Matt's face right now.
It's the face of a slightly defeated new dad. Yeah. I know what I signed up for, but I also didn't realize what I signed up for.
Yeah. Costco becomes your best friend because all of a sudden you're just buying diapers and these genie like refill packets. And again, there's X number of diapers to the amount of space you can hold of these, this ring for the diaper genie. And they're never the same amount. So you're always one off or two off on the wrong side. That's and it perfect. becomes a nightmare.
It sounds like a Turing machine. Like this is how computation was imagined. Like just two infinite chains of things that you can store anything in. Well, thank you, JJ. It's very thoughtful. I hadn't actually heard of that genie thing. We're using something that looks more like a silo, less like a vacuum sealer.
So good. So good.
I mean, I have to say, like when I go to a baby shower, I bring a diaper subscription and a Wubbanub. Like, Wubbanubs. I'm not sure I go down the whole pathway of buying someone an entire diaper disposal system. So maybe I need to up my game a little bit. I don't know.
What's a Wubbanub?
Wubbanub.
Also, what's that?
It's related to a Wordle.
So it's a pacifier with a pacifier you can sanitize that is attached to a stuffed animal because babies don't have the motor control. Yeah. Yep. They don't have the motor control to grab a nipple, like if it falls on the floor or something, but they do have the motor control to grab like a big object,
a
stuffed animal.
Why are people's nipples falling on the floor?
It's just a side effect.
Stress.
Like the baby starts to scream, they open their mouth, the nipple falls out. Pacifier, whatever. We call it.
All right.
Sorry. We're from Australia, whatever.
You didn't sound sorry, but I'll say in the home game.
But anyway, they're attached to pacifiers, and the whole idea is that if the baby wakes up in the middle of the night and wants their pacifier, they can grab the stuffed animal. Or if it falls out, they're, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know how this works. All I know is that I was told by my mom that is the best gift to give, because it is easily sanitizable and it's very safe for babies and they will want one. And everybody I've given it to has said that their kid had it till they were like three. So, and they bought more. So I was like, okay,
but cool. Cats have nipples. Can't you just give them a cat?
I think so. Yeah. Let's see if my 10-year-old Siamese plays nicely with that game. Nope.
I mean, you haven't heard of that before? Okay, fine. JJ, I didn't need
JJ's sharing
a
screen
this
to show us daisy chain dumps up from his vacuum.
I feel like they could have changed that a bit more regularly.
No, normally you're supposed to twist these in the middle. As you see, it says poor design. The person didn't know actually how to use this thing properly, but normally you twist it between it and it becomes a really long chain. This person just didn't know what they were doing.
Hold on. Go back. What is the title of that on Amazon? Because I saw Diaper Genie Complete Advanced Technology in the URL.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Diaper Genie Advanced Technology thing. Yeah. Right. There you go.
This is fine.
It is advanced. It is technological. Speaking of technology.
Wait, Diaper Genie Complete Assembled Technology.
Yes.
Okay.
It's important. I'm gonna use one of these pictures, by the way, as the picture for this week's podcast. Just a fair warning.
And then let us know how the unsubscribes work out. All right, y'all. Now that we're deep in the shit, what do y'all?
Hey. So good. I'm going to do another brioche, no matter what. I need to master this recipe because I'm really proud of myself here, and I'm going to continue doing it.
Cute.
I'm eating leftovers for the next month because I made way too many tacos and fillings.
That's a good answer.
Are you freezing parts of it so it lasts a month?
Oh, you just leave it outside.
Hey.
It's not that cold here.
Hey, it's below 40. It's fucking freezing. I have 3 layers on right now.
Oh my God. I would die for 40 right now. That sounds majestic.
Hey, when I was going running this morning, it was 41. So I know you are incorrect that it was under 40. But yes, it is warmer than up in Minnesota right now.
Minnesota.
Laura, I posted my first run to our running group.
But
it's not my first run. It's the first run I remember to hit the button to actually record it. And I only remembered halfway through it. And so that's going to be a recurring issue for me.
Well, hey, I gave you kudos for that run.
I saw that.
Go double check on Strava for that.
You are my only friend on Strava. So therefore, I notice it when I get things from you.
Okay. Aww. This is why you need to just randomly start creating Strava groups at whatever company you're at and just start sharing them with people. It works great.
I don't want friends.
I have a bunch of followers.
Might hold me accountable, and I don't want that.
Yeah, that's asking.
Well, you just joined a group to be accountable, so dude.
Well, I don't want to be too accountable. I don't mind disappointing you.
You've got 11 weeks until the 10K.
I'm not running 10Ks. What are you talking about?
You said you were going to sign up for the Cap 10K.
No, I said I'd just do the run, group with you. I didn't say I was going to do the run.
Oh, okay. Well, that was what the whole group was for people who were going to do the 10K.
Right. No, I wasn't going to do the 10K. I just want to be able to do a 10K again, but I probably won't do a 10K.
Cop out.
Yeah, that's me.
anyway, back to food. This weekend, I'm going to be doing lasagna roll-ups, which should be delicious. I'm very excited to get them again. And then, I don't know. I haven't really decided. I have Monday off for my birthday. And then, I don't know, maybe I'll make myself a cake. I haven't decided.
That sounds lovely. I, again, won't be cooking until some brain capacity comes back. When I do, I want to get into at least minimum of a monthly ramen, because I'm really enjoying playing with recipes, and I know what I'm going to do different next time. I started adding tahini to the tare, and it just like makes it so much creamier, and there's something really delicious about it if you get the balance right with the sweetness and the spice. So I'm going to mess with that. But tonight we're ordering a bunch of Americanized sushi, because I miss that stuff, and Adele can finally eat it again, and we're just gonna house a bunch of Godzilla rolls and stupid crap like that.
Nice. There you go.
Does that perfect. Give us like a less fatty version of like tonkotsu? Do we get like a tonkotsu like texture, but without needing to have a kajillion pounds of pork fat emulsified through the broth?
That's a great point. I think, you know, I haven't seen it talked about like since tonkatsu's the soup style, and the tahini based one, I'm blanking on the term for it right now, is like a combined with miso is the tare, and usually can't sub one for the other. Gotcha. But the result is pretty white and creamy, like a tonkatsu. So I just saw that's a good point. I'm not sure of the specifics, but I'll look into that. Anyway, ramen school. You should make some. Cool. Brioche is cool. Spiralized. What was it? Lasagna? Yeah.
Lasagna roll-ups.
Yeah, that's spiral good. Lasagna. Totally. Exactly what you said.
It's good. It's a lot of ricotta cheese. Best part.
Yum.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Say bye.
Great seeing you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.